Welcome back to the Action Sit Rep. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Deb.
We are here to talk about episode 3 and 4 of Fallout.
Yeah, the head and the ghouls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, 2 great episodes, in my opinion.
Loved it.
Did not fail at all. I'm thoroughly in. Thoroughly in. There was no drop off for me in either episode. I was not concerned because the first two were such a hit, but there's always that, I guess, like background worry of like, oh, this is good, but like, did they bring out all the stops for the premiere? And then like, you know, like, no, kept going all the way through.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very good.
Well, and it's not, I mean, not that that would be unusual, that there would be a little bit of a settle in for the, you know, those middle-ish episodes. But I think one of the positives of having such extremely short seasons is that you don't have time for that letdown. So when it doesn't happen, it's really nice because some short, you know, 10 episode seasons are still taking advantage of that expectation that things will settle down a bit and slow down a bit. But no, this just kept right on going and absolutely loved it. Love the music. I love the music. It's just such a big part of it. It's just awesome.
It is. It's so well done. It's just so funny, the switch back and forth from, you know, you see, I think my standout musical moment maybe was her when she's on the stretcher and she's like kind of knocked out, and it's just this like very happy, cheery music as she goes off to get her organs, you know, donated. And I was like, I love this. I love this. There's just so many moments like that that it hits. And I will say, so the ghouls, as we see them in these 2 episodes, finally pinged for me on seeing them in the game. I, now that we see them as the sort of like ravaging kind of ghouls, I was like, oh, okay, I do remember fighting ones like this. I did not remember ever meeting ones that you could talk to that were like people. But enemies that are basically like zombie-esque.
Right.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah. That. But it had never pinged for me. But I was like, okay, that kind of rings. It's been years since I played, but that rings a bell. But I love this. There's so much lore to these games that they just have so much to dig up. But oh my god, this was so good. That giant, like, weird water creature thing.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Fingers in the mouth. Oh my god. The finger tongue.
Well, I mean, I assume it's some sort of like a mutant salamander-esque sort of thing that happened because of the radiation and the fingers and the almost human nature in which it moves when it comes up out of the water, looking so fucking awesome.
That was amazing.
Oh my god, I love that.
Oh, it was amazing. But the fingers just, I was like, what?
Yeah, that was so cool. Because you, of course, expect, you just assume that it's teeth, you know, but no, it's like fingers sucking you in.
Oh, like teeth or suckers or never fingers. Fingers never in a million years.
Immediately
would I guess
put me right in the hot dog fingers.
Oh,
everywhere
oh
and
God.
All at once. Hot dog fingers. This is what happened.
That makes me want to watch that movie again. One of the best movies of all time.
Oh, totally.
If you have not watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, you have to watch that.
You have to. Have to watch it at least twice. Minimally twice. Because it's just an amazing movie.
It is. That's fabulous. Oh my God, I need to watch that again. Anyways, back to Fallout. So good. Really just so good.
I think my favorite moment of episode 3, even though it was all about the head, was actually the like meeting that they had in the bunker about what to do with the prisoners. It just gave me so much university life flashback. I just saw my life right there.
With, it felt so PTA.
Oh my God. Well, it was like, oh my God, I'm totally Norm. I'm sitting in this meeting between, you know, it was like an orientation meeting, at which I was in charge of orientation. So we're sitting there as the student affairs people, and we have this list of the 9,000 things that need to be accomplished in 2 days of new student orientation throughout the summer. And, you know, it's an all campus event. You have to work with the faculty end of things a lot and very closely, and a lot is expected of them. But that was like every meeting, the student affairs and the academic affairs, and that you're just sitting there going, we have shit we have to get done. You know, this is where they put it into action, people.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there like, well, we could have a little thing where we have the students think about. It's like, no. We have the new students and their families there, and here's the 100 things that need to be accomplished. We're not going to be teaching them calculus.
This is not a philosophical conversation, Drew.
I'd be happy to volunteer to teach them Shakespeare. We need to get them registered for classes.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It always requires the thinkers and the thinkers/doers. Yeah. They are not mutually exclusive traits. But it's really, really great when you can put together a group of people who are both thinkers and doers. It doesn't often happen in university life.
I'm really loving the Norm and Chet duo. Mm. I think they're great. Norm is so clever and like kind of dark and like smart. And Chet is like just a big, dumb golden retriever.
Who seems to get bigger in every scene. Why is he just like on, you know.
He's like a giant.
Super immediate steroids here, because every scene he's in, he seems like he's taller and taller.
Yeah. But what's funny is I went online and looked up like a picture of the actor standing side by side, and it is even more disparate seeing them side by side as a he looks tiny and he looks giant, and I was like, oh no, it's not exaggerated at all on screen.
Wow.
It looks even crazier just in person, like dressed in normal clothes. For some reason, it looks more normal in a uniform. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I love their duo though. Like, it's adorable and funny. But yeah.
And again, it's like, okay, Norm's the thinker and he has to be the doer. Okay, you're going to do this. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. My God, him dressing up in that woman's clothes and then just be like being like, yeah, I'm him. Let's have sex. Mind blowing. Like, I just was like, are we really going to go there? Oh, yeah, we're going to go there.
Yep.
He's just fully going. But he's probably only had cousin stuff for 10 years. This is probably going to be his first sexual experience. And then she went into labor.
And what is going on up there that she's got like 150 gallons
of water? Yeah, her water really broke. She was really wet, as he pointed out, which is super sexy. What did he say? You're a wet lady or something like that? I was like, what? Whatever it was that he said. Very obviously, he's had a lot of experience wooing the ladies.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, he's so funny. Yeah.
Wild. And then there's Maximus and his new squire, which is interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's funny seeing him play Knight Titus. I'm glad that they didn't just throw him into his halo armor, which is what it reminds me of, and suddenly have him be like completely competent, you know?
Yes.
That he's just... He's still kind of an idiot in the suit.
Yeah, their inexperience shows.
Yeah, I mean, to just leave the suit there, you know, there that they have so little concept of self-preservation in this new world that, you know, that he would just leave the suit there and expect it to be okay.
But here's the thing that feels true to game, because you have like a battery kind of, like, I guess we call it, you know, it's nuclear fission basically, mm-hmm. but you have to go and get like more material. And if you don't have it, you have to leave your suit somewhere and go get it and then bring it back to the suit. And so maybe that was partly like a nod to that. That was one of the issues I had in the game, because at one point I lost my suit and I couldn't find where I had left it. So then you learn to like have like a place, you know, like a hideout mm-hmm. or whatever. And if you need to, like, leave it there. But if you get stuff like that. But yeah.
I'm thinking Knight Titus learned that lesson pretty well. Yeah. Oh, maybe I should hide it.
Yeah. But that was, I think, that was very true to in-game too, though.
Oh, that's
of
funny.
Like having to leave your suit. Because the first time I did it, I was just like in the desert. And was like, well, shit. Okay. So just walk away now.
Oh god. And also, again, when he goes to get the part fixed and he's just doesn't ask any questions, doesn't you know what's wrong with it, how can it be fixed, just trust her that she's going to be honest with him, and you know,
yeah,
a half a second fix and the look on his face like
yeah.
She totally played me. And I was such an easy mark.
It is very interesting watching their like parallel learning journey.
Yeah. Yes, very. And then a pretty brutal fight scene. Eesh.
Yeah.
But he recovered from what had to be fairly significant head injuries pretty quickly. So.
I mean,
better than the guy whose head he smushed. So.
Oh yeah. Oh. That was pretty gross.
Yeah. And it was refreshing to see that it grossed him out as well.
Mm-hmm. I also like another game nod, I think, is the giant bag that the squire carries.
Oh, yeah.
Which is feels like the being overburdened that you get mm-hmm. in the game. You know, that to me at least, I think that feels like a game nod. Of trying to carry all your shit and never being able to. I can't imagine any other reason why they would have that absolutely ridiculous bag other than like, this is hilarious because it's funny in game that you try to do this, you know?
Well, and I saw, having really no knowledge of the game at all, I see this as how it's just that separation, that power stance that... You know, the squires have really no power at all. They have to do everything the knight says. The knight who could easily carry that bag with no problems.
Oh, with no problems.
You know, it's just the power play of the whole thing that, you know, here's my little golf caddy. And just like a real golf caddy, the knight listens to what the squire has to say. And yet the power is always maintained.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That bag is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. This is so big. It's interesting because the only critiques I've seen online are the typical critiques you see from mouth breathers that are like, there would be no interracial marriage in the 50s. There's like too many, you know, like, of course they took our game and made it, you know, where you have three leads and one is a woman and one is a black man. And it's like, okay. Ugh. So your issue with the game is black people and women. Okay. So, or with the show.
What a surprise.
what a genuine critique of a show. And if that's your only critique, it's a phenomenal show and you need to shut your mouth. And also, in the 50s on this show, they had fucking robots.
I know, I like, what is your sense of reality? Like,
oh no, there's interracial marriage. But like,
the robots are fine.
About the robots.
Yeah, those were plentiful in the 50s. And yes, there was interracial marriage in the 50s. It may have been illegal, but people still did it.
Yeah. It was so stupid. But yeah, it was great. And the, let's see. So then we talked some about the third episode. The fourth episode, we see her kidnapped. Or not kidnapped. Sold. I mean, I guess kind of kidnapped. Mm-hmm. Held hostage and then sold. Very interesting. All the ghouls. Now she finally understands there's two types of ghouls. So really, one type of ghoul, but one is...
in transition sort of thing.
Yeah, transitioned, which is
bad for Roger.
Her wake up call.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was sad. Yeah.
There was some great lines in that though. Sometimes a fella's gotta eat a fella.
But
that whole scene of him killing Roger the other ghoul is so open to interpretation because he went out of his way to make it sort of compassionate.
Yeah, I felt like it was compassion.
Exactly. But then has to sort of save face with her and continue on with the ghoul requirements.
I felt like if she hadn't pushed him, he would not have done that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was compassionate. He put mm-hmm. him out of his misery.
And while he was having a nice memory.
A nice memory. And then he did what everybody on the surface knows to do, which is this guy is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a body.
Yep.
And if there are things on his body or things that he has, then I'm going to take them. And I'm going to loot his body, which you do in game. And then she gets all high and mighty on him. Which, one, she has not lived on the surface. She does not know how to survive. And she needs to shut her mouth and learn to survive. Yeah. And two, she doesn't know the truth. And he knows the truth.
Yeah.
Of where she comes from. And so he's got a lot of... he's going to be pissed off anyways.
Yeah.
But... and so all his, like, stuff about being a ghoul and whatever, I think he probably would not have said anything if she hadn't mouthed off to him. Mm-hmm. About it, you know, and I get where she's coming from, and I want her to hold on to some of that. You know, I thought her like parting line, the like golden rule, bitch, or whatever she, you know, that was amazing. And yes, I want her to do the right thing, but she needs to get off her high horse and also realize that people do need to survive,
right?
And she has not had to survive in this way, and she doesn't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And she cannot judge them the same way that she would judge people in the vault.
Right. Exactly. And she had that opportunity to interpret, to see what he actually did. But she was so caught up in her, you know, the rules, as she has been brought up to believe, that she couldn't see the reality of what just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, and then she can finally... it should have clued into her too when she makes them release that second group of ghouls and sees them.
Right.
She could have put those pieces together and seen like, oh, that's what he was preventing
mm-hmm.
the other guy from becoming. But I don't think she's put those pieces together yet.
Yet. I think she probably will, but
I hope so.
Yeah. Ass jerky don't make itself. Oh, he has some great lines. God, I love Walton Goggins. He's just so good.
He is.
He's so good. And I really like seeing him play Cooper Howard, because we rarely get to see him just playing sort of a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, most of his roles are like this, that he's playing some caricature of a type, you know?
Yeah.
So to be able to see him just be...
nice.
A nice guy who loves his family.
Yeah.
And a little and kind of gullible is cool. I like being able to see his story progress while we see him now and can still see, you know, that he's had to do some awful things since becoming a ghoul. but he still has that shred of humanity in him.
Yeah.
That he would do something like put the other ghoul out of his misery in a compassionate way.
Yeah.
So I have hope that he's going to not be totally awful.
I think so.
He knows who she is, and he has the big picture, I'm assuming. He knows the reality of what happened and could probably play having her to a far bigger advantage than he is. So we'll see where that goes, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he sold her before he really knew who she was. So, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just excited that Norm now is digging. I mean, I'm excited that Norm's digging into Vault 32, and I can't wait till we start getting some lore into the vaults. I can't wait for you to find out
about the vaults. I'm starting to kind of have my theories on who the bad guys really are.
So throw your theories out there. I'm not going to confirm or deny.
I think that obviously her father is a key in all this, and his wife is a key in all of this. And I think that the vault, the whole vault system, is probably a self-fulfilling prophecy. That the vaults were built with intention, and not just should something ever happen to happen.
Yeah. You're probably on the right track there. Maybe not quite there yet.
Okay.
But I'll just say you're on a track, but you gotta, let's just say it's fucking crazier than you think it is.
Oh, okay. So take where as horrific take, as I think what happened is, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, capitalism is really bad in the 50s.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Oh.
But it will be interesting to see. I'm interested to how much they're going to disclose by the end of this season.
Yeah,
because we get, you know, like obviously in the game it's little peaks depending on where you get in the game. You know, because you sort of discover depending on how you're traveling. So it will be interesting how they're going to do that, how much they're going to reveal. Because this, I cannot see this not getting renewed. Like, this has been super.
Season two, I haven't read that it's been renewed. It probably, if it has been technically reviewed, I'm sure there's a release about it out there. I just haven't been paying attention. But IMDb already has season two, episode one listed. So
nice. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's going to be another one of those we shot two seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, like, this has been so well received by everybody except the mouth breathers, that I can't imagine it not doing well. It's phenomenal.
Well, I think it is, you know, it's that thing that everybody looks for, the, you know, people who love the game for the most part and people who have no concept of the game like me.
Yeah.
Both love it.
Yeah.
You know, that it's true enough to the game and it's exciting enough from the game standpoint. And you can also watch it and love it and have no connection to the game whatsoever. It's like perfect in that way.
Yeah. Yay.
Now I can't wait to see what about my theories. I mean, I tried not to say too much about really what I think really happened. I mean, I have a pretty good idea, at least in my mind. But hopefully the little bit I said was enough for you to know what I'm talking about.
I think we know each other well enough. So we'll see. But yeah, so we will be back next week with episodes 5 and 6.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Wow, five and six already. Yowzers.
Go and watch it. We cannot recommend it enough. It's really phenomenal.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And then we will catch you next time.
See ya.